The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 113, Disney's News Dump. Guess where we came up with that name? What happened last weekend, huh? Big weekend. We get into all of the Disney and Star Wars. Plus, we have a bunch of news to get to even before we get to that. It was a pretty busy week for news. A little slow on comics this week, but John put together a really cool list with everything that's coming out from Disney and Star Wars. So he put a really good speculator list together for books to look for. So look for that later in the show. And John actually came up with some breaking news during Kryptonite Key Club while we were breaking down The Mandalorian with spoilers at the end. But lots and lots to get to. Tons of Mandalorian talk, tons of Disney Plus, tons and tons of talk, tons of comic talk. Let's get into the store because I'm running out of talk. You in the mood now?
I was in the mood before. It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was really...
You just can't go wrong from that classic Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It opens the movie. How do you go wrong? You know, I know you're just like me. You love Die Hard as that classic Christmas movie that it is.
I love Die Hard, period.
Oh, that's what's great, John. You're the chocolate to my peanut butter.
That's right. Officer Reese's.
Yep. We're just opposites. I don't know. Yep. I love it as a Christmas movie. You love it. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
But great tune. Always gets me in the mood, even when I'm watching that holiday treat, Die Hard.
Holiday classic.
Oh, how you been this week, John?
Been okay.
Yeah. Anything happened since we talked last? Not really sure. A little bit of news. I don't know. What do we got in the notes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of slow. I don't know. No.
Slow news week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A little bit to get to tonight. Lots to get to, actually. We're going to get to a few things first, obviously, and then we'll get into all that Disney dump. Disney Plus, I'm sorry. What did you call it? The Disney dump?
I called
dump.
It the Disney News Dump.
Yeah.
Which is a good title for the show, since I noticed in your notes that I have to come up with the title to the show.
Yeah, so. I was like, I got to give it to you this week. I was like...
So, there's your title.
Disney News Dump?
Yep.
Alrighty, Disney News Dump. Alright, see, I'm just learning about it now, and the listeners have known through this entire, like, scintillating open.
Exactly, right? They This is the behind the scenes...
Right. We're actually getting the behind the scenes. They already know. Yeah. All right. What do you want to open? I got a few things other than Disney to get to.
I've got a couple things too. I figure we're going to spend a lot of time on Disney. So we'll just kind of blast through a couple of other things really quickly because other people announced things as well besides Disney last week.
Well, we already talked about your puppy, which isn't a puppy.
Yeah. She's a
2-year-old puppy.
2-year-old, yeah. So not really a puppy, but so we talked a couple of weeks ago about kind of a reboot of the Buck Rogers TV series, and I actually thought they were rebooting it as a movie, and they may still be doing this, but they announced that Brian K. Vaughan, who is a big comics writer, he wrote Why the Last Man, which is also in development and a bunch of other stuff. But he's actually developing a Buck Rogers TV series. So that's pretty exciting because, you know, I'm a fan of the property anyways. And I think it's overdue for we talked about it last time. It's overdue for a reboot.
Well, we said a lot of people nowadays wouldn't even know what that was.
Yeah, it's like a forgotten character. So, but the concept is, you know, still valid. So, I think it's definitely, you know, something that's going to be really interesting. And Brian K. Vaughan, like I said, obviously, is a great writer and has some great ideas. So, looking forward to that.
I thought when we talked about it last, we weren't sure which it was going to be. But that could have been another entity. We've said that about so many different things.
Right. We might not have been, but for some reason I had it in my mind that it was a movie and not a TV show. But it, like I said, it may be one or both. You know, who knows? But this is definitely a series that he's working on. So, and then this is sort of Disney related, I guess, since Disney now owns this property with their Fox acquisition. But they announced also an Alien TV show that's in development.
Oh, I didn't see
what's
that
cool
one.
About this. Yeah, what's cool about this also is it actually takes place on Earth. It's not a, it's like not a space show necessarily. So it, throughout the entire movie franchise, the aliens, I don't think, ever made it to Earth. So so that's pretty cool.
That would,
although not for the people of Earth, I guess,
but yeah, that would be us.
It's cool for us.
Yeah.
we're on Earth 2, you know, we're on Earth Prime or whatever.
Right.
This is Earth 2. This is Earth 616. This is where the Marvel stuff happens.
Right. So, exactly. Okay. All right. I feel safer now. Thank you.
Feel safer now. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And then they announced some casting news, HBO, for the, Game of Thrones, The House of the Dragon, which is the spinoff of, obviously, of Game of Thrones. This is the Targaryen show. A couple of names here. The only one that I really am familiar with is Matt Smith, obviously a former Doctor Who. But Olivia Cooke, who apparently was a star in Ready Player One, and Emma Darcy, which from Truth Seekers. Never really heard of either one of those, but they've all been cast. So it looks like this thing is, you know, moving forward steadily. You know, they've got,
was she Artemis in Ready Player One?
I would imagine so.
She was female, I guess.
Yeah. Right. So really just the voice more than, well, I don't know. Cause I don't know if she was the Avatar. Right. Or
well, even the voice was the real person.
Was the same person. Yeah.
Cause they had real people play him too.
Yeah. So yeah, I would imagine. I've only seen the movie once.
Oh, I love that movie.
I'm not that familiar with it. I liked it too, but I imagine she was the main female.
You never read the book, right?
No.
Okay. A book two's coming out, or is out.
Yeah, I know. Ready Player Two
is
coming out.
That's quite the original name.
I know. Well, makes sense, right? Makes sense.
Yep. Oh, I'm looking forward to that book too. And hopefully they make the sequel out of it as well, make the movie.
Well, I can't imagine they wouldn't.
It didn't do awesome. I mean, it did well, but I don't think it was like a...
Well, yeah.
I
think it made its money, though. Yeah. Although, I don't know. That's a pretty expensive movie to make, so I don't know what it did.
All CGI.
Yeah, I don't know what it did box office-wise, yeah. But I would think that they would probably follow it up with the movie.
Yeah.
And then, kind of last that I have before you jump in with whatever you've got, and this is also Disney Plus related, but, you know, all this great content we're getting comes with a price because, Disney announced a price increase coming in spring. They're going to raise their price by $1.
It's actually later than we expected. When they started, we expected it would be back in November. But then
I figured after the first year it would go up.
Right.
But
they're delaying it because of, you know, COVID, probably
because of COVID,
keep people happy and satisfied.
But, you know, they are still really in the scheme of things,
one of the cheapest
streaming services out there. I mean, they're half the price of HBO Max and Netflix. And with the amount of stuff they've got coming and the price tags that are attached with all of these projects.
Right.
In addition to the fact that, you know, their parks are closed and they're kind of hemorrhaging money. The only thing viable they have going right now is Disney Plus. So, so look for that price increase sometime early next year.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, before we get into really all the news, you mentioned you had a couple of things as well.
Yeah, so. I got this one. I have I'm calling it the quote of the week. I found this on Twitter, and it comes from Ben Howard, and it's in regards to the Snyder Cut possibly getting an R rating for violence and maybe an F bomb from Batman. And his quote,
I saw that.
Yeah, and his quote is, "Okay, bit weird to have Batman drop the F bomb. But I don't know why it's weird. MFR dresses up as a bat and beats the blank out of a giant crocodile men and drug addict strongmen, and his dropping an F bomb is weird."
Like, yeah, honestly, I don't. If they didn't make it a news story, I would hear it and it wouldn't even. It would just go right. Like I wouldn't even think about it. You know what I mean? It's.
I think. Only because you're getting the R rating are you hearing about it, but I don't think that's – because somebody else I saw mentioned, can't you have an F-bomb and a PG-13?
You can have one, I believe.
So that can't be it unless he just like goes on a, you know, tirade.
Right.
But I don't – because it would – how cool would it have been if all of a sudden in the movie he just said it and nobody knew it was coming? You would have just cracked up like, hey, that's pretty funny.
Right.
And the other thing I have is, Julia Alexander, at Loudmouth Julia on Twitter wrote an article in The Verge. It's called A Year Without Marvel Movies Left a Pop Culture Void. And I've already put it in the show notes, so check that out. It's a really good article on how, like, we went a whole year and there's a couple of nuggets in there. And one of them is, when Marvel started out with Iron Man in 2008, between Marvel and Disney, I think they were like 6% of the market, right? Of the movie going market.
Right.
By Endgame, that last year, 2019, they're 40%.
Wow.
So whether you like Marvel or not, and there were a lot of people coming down on her article, and like she promotes it on Twitter, and all the comments are like, oh, there's no void. I don't care if you like it or not. That is a void. And that, I mean, that also shows you what these theaters are missing out on.
Right.
But I mean, that it, and there's more to the article than just that. And that was just one thing that I thought really jumped out, but definitely I would check out that article. It's pretty cool. She did a great job with it. And there's, like I said, there's some more nuggets in there too, but 40% is just, and that's,
yeah.
And you and I have said it since we started this podcast, the comic book fans are like the most passionate group, and to overtake the market in, for all intents and purposes, 12 years. One studio to dominate 40%. That's a lot considering how many studios there are.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, speaking of voids, I was reading it. I was reading this when
I
was
at
dinner.
This isn't a medical thing.
No. I was reading something at dinner, and again, just a headline because you know me. But we talked last week pretty extensively about the Warner Brothers announcement.
Yeah.
And how, you know, movie theater chains are among the least happy people with this announcement. So I saw a headline today that talked about how all the major theater chains were considering dropping the ticket prices on all the Warner Brothers movies to $3 to $4 per ticket.
Right.
I guess to spite Warner Brothers. Are you really spiting Warner Brothers with that? Or like, isn't that cutting off your nose to spite your face?
Right.
Like if you're worried about the box office dollars that you're losing. Like, do you want to cut your ticket prices in half?
Right, because isn't your income further, based like, on reduce, a percentage?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
I just thought that was funny. I was like, that doesn't seem like the proper course to steer if you're trying to get increased profits.
Unless their deal anything, is they get the first $3.
If anything, they should be charging $40 a ticket. You know what I
right.
mean? Right. Yeah, it could be. Maybe they get $3 to $4 of the
automatic
upfront ticket sales.
And then they get everything else after that.
That it could be. That might be a case. But I was just thinking
I doubt it though, because why would you ever raise prices then? you could attract so many more people and undercut everybody else and just get your money. It wouldn't make sense.
I don't think,
I don't think that's it either.
I just thought it was funny.
I heard on another podcast.
You're not thinking that one through.
Yeah. Speaking of HBO Max, I heard on another podcast that, and I respect these guys, I won't say who it is, but they had like the worst take on the whole HBO Max day and date release thing. And they're like, why would they release it to HBO? Why would Warner Brothers release it to HBO Max when you have Netflix is in how many millions of more homes if they're trying to get this out to the people? And they just went on from there, and I'm listening to them and I'm like, what are you?
That's not what they're trying to do.
They were saying HBO Max only has 12 million subscribers.
Right.
Why put it out there? I was like, because that's how you get more.
Yeah, exactly. They're not looking to get the movie out to the masses. It's not like a benevolent endeavor. They're looking to get more eyeballs on their streaming service.
Look at how big Netflix is. Yeah, and how do you think they got that way? By putting content on their site. It's like, so HBO Max just started out. They're trying to gain ground. That's how you do it, by doing stuff like
that. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a well-thought-out argument either. But I don't know who they are, and I'm not trying to speak ill of anybody.
No,
but
they're really smart guys. I just think, I don't know. It's like sometimes I think try to take the other side, like they were trying to defend Christopher Nolan, and I just think that's a difficult thing to do. I love Christopher Nolan. I love his movies. I love what he's done. I think he's a great artist. But I just think he's kind of wrong in this case.
Well, he is wrong, and honestly, he's a bit responsible,
right?
He's kind of responsible for what's happening because he really strong-armed them into putting Tenet out in the theaters,
right?
When Warner Brothers really didn't want to do it, and they acquiesced to him, and then they lost their butts on it. So, he's kind of got back, a little bit of backhand responsibility for this. So,
yeah, I guess. I get it. And Art, he'll have his opinion, and he's looking out for the little guy, the theaters. But I mean, it's, we talked about it last week. But yeah, I just thought that was funny. They're like, they own the product and they own HBO Max. Why would you sell it and give it to somebody else?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's get into that that little thing that happened over the weekend there, or what was it, last Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, well, it was Thursday when it started.
Yeah, right after we recorded, of course.
Yeah, Thursday was the investor call which we mentioned last week. Like, we knew last week going into it that all this was going to happen on Thursday. Now, I don't think we were prepared for, like, the deluge.
We should have been, though. You should, I mean,
of news that we got. Well, I don't know. Even now, I'm still not prepared for all the stuff that they announced, but there's a lot. So I've got kind of a comprehensive list that was put together that kind of lists everything that they announced, so I just figured we'd go down it and hit it
all right
point by point. So the article starts with Marvel, so I guess that's where we'll start. So the first three things basically are things we already knew about, but we got new trailers basically. We got a new trailer for WandaVision. We got a full trailer for Falcon and Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And then we got a first look at Loki. To preemptively answer your question, I haven't seen any of these.
Oh, okay.
So, because I know you're going to ask me, but I'm sure you've seen them all.
Yeah.
So,
they're all great. Loki, Loki to me is probably the best one because that's the one I had the lowest hopes for. Yeah. And after seeing it, I have like really high hopes for. I wouldn't say it's higher than the others, but I'm more excited for Loki now after seeing the trailer than I was before it. Cause I was wondering where they were going to go with that. Right. And it actually looks really good. I recommend seeing that. I mean, we were already high on the other one, so.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I really liked the Loki character, so I was
I liked the character. I just didn't know where the story was going to go. Like, what, because if it's just him, you're like, well, what's that? What's it gonna?
Yeah, I get it.
But
what's he doing?
Check out the trailer. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I just didn't have time to get to a lot of this stuff.
Right.
All right. So like, none of that's really news, though.
Right.
We also, this is not necessarily news, but we've got the a late fall 2021.
Well, did you see
debut for Hawkeye?
Sorry, a second.
Go ahead.
Did you see on Falcon Winter Soldier the premiere date though?
I didn't see a March.
March 19th.
I saw it. Oh, okay.
March 19th, 2021. Okay. Just got to make sure to put the year in because some of this might be 2027.
Right. So that's, you know, we'll get WandaVision on January 15th.
And
that'll
that
run for six to 8 weeks. I think it's six episodes. I think I heard somewhere along the lines, but I could be wrong. But I mean, that'll run into mid to end February.
Right.
And then, you know, 2 weeks later, we'll get Falcon Winter Soldier. So,
but here's what I thought was interesting.
And then, Loki is May 2021. So,
right.
Like, we kind of mentioned this earlier, but we're going to go from show to show to show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, basically from this point forward. Like, there won't be a time where we're going more than 2 weeks without something.
Right.
So
here's my question, though. You and I have been speculating for a long time that especially Falcon and Winter Soldier has been delayed because of Black Widow. But now, according to what we have now, unless you have other news there that I haven't seen, this is going to come out before Black Widow.
Yeah, well...
Or do we just have they just not told us yet that Black Widow is going to get a digital release earlier?
Well, they haven't said... I don't have any news at all regarding Black Widow, actually.
I haven't seen any.
Conspicuously silent on... that.
Right.
So,
but the fact that Falcon and Winter Soldier is getting a March 19th date, and that's months before Black Widow.
And right, but I think we only assumed that. Like, there was no news that said they were tied together specifically.
No, but it was funny how they kept moving it in conjunction with Black Widow.
Yeah.
So that's what made us speculate it. It's like, oh, Black Widow moved to November. This is going to move until then and boom, boom, boom. And then we didn't know, but now we have a hard date. So maybe, I mean, you're right. We're still speculating here. Maybe we were wrong and it has not, there's no spoilers in it whatsoever. But if there's no spoilers in it, why did they delay it at all?
Well, because they're not done filming it.
But they were set.
I don't think they were done. I don't think they were done. Like, they had to stop production in the beginning of COVID. They shut down the production of Falcon Winter Soldier.
Okay. But they were set to release in August. How much did they have left?
Well, I mean, maybe a week or two or three. Like, I don't know.
You know?
I don't know what they had.
That was supposed to be out before WandaVision.
It was.
You know,
yes.
And now we're getting WandaVision. You see what I mean? That's what made us even think that. So you're right. For all we know, it has nothing to do. There's no spoilers in it for Black Widow or anything like that.
But I also think part of it was like all of WandaVision takes place on a soundstage, basically. Falcon Winter Soldier was like a kind of a global production where they had
true.
Multiple locations.
True.
So I think that they were able to continue working on WandaVision. You
right.
know, when they weren't able to continue with Falcon Winter Soldier. Because I remember hearing at the beginning of COVID that, you know, they had to stop production on Winter Soldier because, you know, the countries were shutting down and they weren't able to go on location. But, you know, looking at these dates, we actually get all three of these shows before Black Widow.
Right.
Because even Loki comes in May of 2021, which is when we're supposed to get Black Widow.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny that in all of this news, there wasn't really a mention of Black Widow, unless they just are saying, look, we gave you the date already and we're sticking with it. So,
right.
That may be,
I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping that we get, you know, a Wonder Woman 84 treatment for Black Widow earlier than that. That would be great, but probably set the world on fire, but
yeah, for sure.
All right, what do we got next?
All right. So, I mean, Hawkeye, like I said, late fall 2021. So again, a lot of stuff next year. You know, the studio confirmed Haley Steinfeld. We already knew that because we saw the pictures last week.
She did
so
too.
It was, did yeah. She, so she it was nice of everybody. She did. Yeah. It was nice of everybody to confirm what we already saw in the pictures. We got a trailer for What If, which is the new animated series. Not new, but, well, I guess it is new. But it's not new news because we already knew about it. But we got the trailer for What If.
Yep.
And that's kind of it for the old news. Now we can get into the, basically, the announcements.
All right.
Some of these we knew about, and some of them, a lot of them we didn't know anything about. First one being Ironheart, set to star Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams. So, I mean, I think we
knew about the
speculated on Ironheart at one point, but, you know, there was no confirmation. So, definitely got that. And no, these don't have any kind of premiere dates or timelines attached. They were all just announced as in development. Although up front, they said this was like the next 3 years or so worth of content. So I would imagine all of these things are going to be the 2022 releases, since seems like 2021 is pretty full with all of this stuff. All right, Don Cheadle is coming back as Rhodey for Armor Wars. What was I going to say?
Armor Wars.
Armor Wars. It says, which examines one of Tony Stark's biggest fears. I'm not quite sure what that is, but yeah, and this is Don Cheadle, Rhodey. So, refresh me if I'm remembering wrong, but isn't he like in bad shape after Endgame? Like, Rhodey. Like, isn't he like?
Yeah, well, I know, but
crippled or paralyzed or something. Like,
no,
I don't
that was after
exactly,
that was after Civil War. He crashed into the ground head first.
Oh, that's right. He's better now.
Yeah, he's better now. He's off doing, I mean, he's got his bionic legs.
That's right.
Remember?
Okay, so he's good. So he's good to go. He's good to be Rhodey.
I just watched Endgame the other day.
I would think that, like, if we're set to see any kind of cameo or crossover ever again from Robert Downey Jr., it may happen in one of these first two projects. Because they all seem to center around Iron Man. Lot of speculation out there that he may be the voice of Ironheart's Jarvis, basically.
Ooh.
Which would be really cool.
That would be awesome. Well, we've had that speculation in a bunch of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. Maybe in the, I don't know. There was something else too. Maybe it was Ironheart we even talked about.
It might have been Ironheart we talked about.
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all right, blended, John.
Yeah. Well, and this one is completely out of left field as far as I'm concerned. We've got Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn back for Secret Invasion, which is...
Well, what's funny about that that's incorporating the end of
Far
From Home. Because
I don't know if we thought this is where that was going.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Oh, John, you didn't see that?
Yeah. But again, this was just something that I never had on my radar, but I think it's going to be awesome.
I wonder how much that's going to answer the question on Samuel Jackson or Nick Fury has been throughout all of the stories. Because remember all the speculation now of it wasn't the real him since, what was it? Before Civil War. It was before...
Yeah.
I think it was right after he got killed in Winter Soldier. I think supposedly that's when he disappeared.
That's when he disappeared, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Or had a stand-in.
Had a stand-in, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it ties in directly to the end of
they're going
to
make it all convoluted movie, yeah. and crazy, and we're going to go, how did they think of that? It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so notable non-announcement, no announcement of Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight, which was, you know, previously speculated. So,
really?
There was no casting update on Moon Knight. We did, however, get confirmation that Tatiana Maslany is, in fact, She-Hulk. She has made a couple of statements since this.
I was
going to
say, now has she backed that too? Since
she has, yes, she was able to finally. She put something out on.
It's amazing
Twitter.
How this is working out, huh?
Yeah, Twitter saying that she's glad she can finally announce that she is She-Hulk. Also set to appear is Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, and what's his name?
Charlie
Abomination.
Cox?
Abomination. Who played Abomination?
Oh, Tim Roth.
Tim Roth. Yeah, Tim Roth is also back for this.
Oh, wow.
So I did not see that. Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really
I love that they're bringing
that back, you know, because that wasn't Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. That was Ed Norton's Hulk.
Right.
But with these TV shows, they can do whatever they want. You know, they can bring everybody back. So.
What's his name? The general there or whatever.
He's Thunderbolt. He's the same.
He's right. the same from that series. Speaking of Tim Roth, did you ever watch the show Lie to Me?
Yeah, I used to watch it. I loved it.
Love that show.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Jen and I have watched that series like 3 times.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
I've only seen it once, but yeah. I've been a big fan of his since Reservoir Dogs. Actually.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction. He's fantastic.
He's great. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, I'm glad to see him back. Like I said, I really liked him.
Anybody with anybody out there with kids, watch Lie to Me, because it's a blast. Because when your kids start lying and doing stuff, the stuff they teach you in this show, and you're watching your kid going, "That's real." It's like they're doing it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so we had heard previously that Iman Vellani was cast as Kamala Khan for the Ms. Marvel TV show. It looks like ahead of that, she will appear in Captain Marvel 2 before her show debuts. So that makes sense because she gets her powers from Carol. Makes sense that that would happen. Guardians of the Galaxy, they're working on a holiday special for Disney Plus, which is due out holiday season 2022. That will be directed by James Gunn, so that's pretty cool.
When's that, that out?
Will film. Well, that
next
that well this the holiday special is for 2022, and it's going to film alongside of Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, so
I guess we're going to have everybody together.
It's going to be an all outtakes and stuff.
I don't know what the special is, but like I said, since they're all going to be filming and they're all going to be working anyway.
It's a shame they couldn't have done it with a better, more fun cast.
Yeah, I know. Those guys are
kind of downers, all those guys on Guardians.
Bummers,
you know?
Yeah.
Welcome
they're
to
also
Boston,
working
everybody.
On an
sarcasm.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't translate exactly through the podcast, but they're also working on an I Am Groot, an animated series of short films starring Groot. So, don't know when that's going to release. I want to be a dialogue writer for that. Because
of course it's a short series. It's one line.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a lot of inflection. All right.
That to me just sounds like a dumb show. It's like, I Am Groot. I Am Groot.
Yeah, well, I'm sure other people around him will speak.
I just thought of another podcast. I'm doing an I Am Groot podcast.
Yeah. We'll do a watch along. So,
it's probably going to be the best show ever, too.
Probably. We'll probably love it.
Of course.
And then movie news. We already kind of broke this, but Kevin Feige confirmed that Black Panther 2 will not recast Chadwick Boseman's King T'Challa. The film will be still directed by Ryan Coogler and set for July 2022. So no word on, you know, exactly what they're going to do, but at this point they're not recasting Chadwick. I mean, they're not recasting T'Challa. So I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. Like, I was listening to another podcast.
Not recasting him?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to another podcast, the Fat Man Beyond podcast. And Kevin Smith asked Mark Bernardin what his thoughts on this were. And Mark is is a black man. So he had a take that I kind of agreed with. I understand the respect for Chadwick and, you know, what they're doing here. But, like, the character of T'Challa is important enough to Marvel and that in the community that he should transcend the one actor. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's really definitely a way to look at this where, you know, the character itself has meaning to the black community. And to not have that character appear again because of the fact that Chadwick passed is kind of doing a disservice to that character and to that community. So I hadn't really thought about it that way.
Right.
But I do kind of agree with that, you know, and again, this was his take on it that
that's interesting.
You know,
the character means
something to him. That, like I said, that obviously, you know, he loved Chadwick just like everybody did, but, you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
Well,
another way to look at it that, said, I wouldn't have. It's a perspective that I probably wouldn't have had if I hadn't heard somebody else talking about it. So,
well, no, because it's one of those things that you're afraid to. I mean, that takes a lot of courage to come out and say something like that because it can be taken like disrespectful to Chadwick.
It can, you know?
But it's not. And we talked about this. Like, what, a month ago, when I think it was in Crossover 1, the book Crossover, and they were talking about how right. Superman, and we had that discussion, who, like, Superman will live longer than us.
Exactly.
You know, and that's, I think that's kind of the point that you're getting at here, and he was getting at with, you know, it's, T'Challa will live longer than whoever was
all
to
of
play
us.
Him.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
and, you know, we've talked about it before. We've had multiple James Bonds. We've had multiple Batmans, multiple Supermans. Now, the difference is none of those were ever recast because somebody passed away.
Right.
They were all just recast because, you know, the time came to go in a different direction. So this is really the kind of the first circumstance where we've ever really had this. But, again, all deference and respect to Chadwick, the character should transcend and the character itself is important. So,
yeah.
I don't know. No guarantee that this is just for one film.
Right.
They're not saying that they will never recast T'Challa again, but, you know, based on what they do in this movie, there's still a future of MCU phase fours and fives and whatevers. And where does Black Panther fit in to that?
Well,
if there's no T'Challa.
The other thing is the MCU is a different entity than the comics. T'Challa will always be in the comics.
For sure.
But the MCU is defined by its actors and the stories that they tell from there. So maybe, you know, it's not even disrespectful to move on. It's not, or I mean, they can move on in the MCU from T'Challa and still have a Black Panther.
Well, right. And again, we're two white guys waxing on about the black community that we know nothing about. But still, like, think about the success of Black Panther, right? When that movie came out, it was huge, right? It wasn't huge because of Chadwick Boseman necessarily.
No,
you know what
huge,
I mean?
Huge because of
it
the
was
entire
huge because,
cast, the crew. I mean, it was
but
very...
But the cast, the crew, and the character, and,
right.
you know, again, for the you know, black community to finally be able to look up on the screen and identify with the hero that's on the screen. And if it was Chadwick, if it had been Michael B. Jordan, if it had been anybody else, it still would have had the same resonant effect. So
right.
it's the character that was important, not the actor specifically. That's not, again, not to diminish anything he did in the role because he was really, he was great.
Right.
But it wasn't, they weren't cheering for Chadwick. They were cheering for T'Challa and they're cheering for Black Panther. So,
right.
Like, I think it's, you know, again, you know, we're speaking on things that we really can't relate with.
Well,
but,
I'm speaking of it, like, the way I look at it is just put it in, I get it. It's a little bit higher because it was such an important movie for the black community. But I'm looking at it also from an actor passing, regardless of color and what you,
right.
you know, regardless of color, how do you treat that? happening. If it was any other actor, what?
I guess,
how do you
I
do
guess
it?
The
and
answer
like,
that
I'm like, you can move like, on.
Well, I guess
you know.
Well, I guess to answer that though, would you say like, what would Chadwick want? Like, do you think he would want the character to not go on because he passed?
No.
So
that's the whole thing. Right.
So that answers the question though, right? Like, that's what makes it not disrespectful, because he would not, he would want the character to go on, and like, that should be end of story, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. We'll move on. Cause again, we're, I feel like we're talking about things that we don't really,
no, we're allowed to have opinions on it.
Well, we are, but,
don't worry. I don't think we're offending anybody here.
Well, I don't think we are either. But but again, we can't relate. So
yeah.
Okay. Moving on. We've got a title for the third Ant-Man movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Officially in development with Peyton Reed.
They picked that out of a
direct.
Hat.
Must be. Yeah. It's well. It's better than the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. So
yeah.
Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer, all returning.
Nice.
As well as Jonathan Majors, confirmed as Kang the Conqueror. So we talked about that a while back, which was just speculation at the time. We knew he had been cast, but we didn't know as who. Now we know. Kang the Conqueror is probably the Thanos of the next phase of movies, because he is a huge villain. Okay, Doctor Strange news. Doctor Strange will tie into both the WandaVision and Marvel's third Spider-Man movie. I think we already knew that.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange will be appearing in the still unnamed Spider-Man 3 sequel. And then lastly, the next bit of big news, which doesn't come as a huge surprise, I guess, is that they announced the Fantastic Four movie is in development.
Yep.
And they even showed us a logo and everything. So
it's a four.
It's a four. But hey, but somebody put a lot. They spent a lot of money on that, man.
On that four.
On that four. But somebody put some money into it.
Yep.
So I can only hold my fingers and toes crossed that it's Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Because I think they'd be perfect. But we'll see.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. That's all just fan speculation though, right? That's not
it's
any
fan
kind
speculation.
Of,
right. Although again,
that's
all,
why I'm saying,
of,
yeah, I've,
well, a lot of news that they have both been in talks with Marvel on unannounced projects. So, you know, again, take it with a grain of salt, but yeah, again, it's fan casting, but you know what else was fan casting? Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. And look where that,
I thought that was a rumor though. Like a,
but it was fan cast. Oh. That's been fan cast. That was fan cast years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think even ahead of The Mandalorian coming out, you know, Rosario's name was tied to that character.
Right.
So again, okay. You know,
well,
maybe
hopefully
they'll listen to
fingers
us.
And toes crossed.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on.
All right. That was it. That's it from Marvel Studios.
What's next?
Do you have anything else before we move into Lucasfilm? Okay.
Nope. That was...
All right. Moving into Lucasfilm.
I know that name. That sounds familiar. Lucas.
Before we get to the Star Wars stuff, which is most of it, they did announce that Indiana Jones 5 is now in pre-production and will be released in July 2022, starring Harrison Ford.
2022 it's going to be great.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Star Wars. So, again, notably absent from all of these announcements was a Boba Fett series, which had been wildly speculated on, was even supposed to already be in production, according to many sources. There was no mention of a Boba Fett TV show anywhere. So, doesn't mean we're not getting one, but it's odd that it wasn't part of these announcements, especially if it was already filming. So, okay. So Disney Plus has announced a plethora of new Star Wars shows and spinoffs. Two shows that are spinning off directly, from The Mandalorian and will take place, in the Mandalorian timeline mm-hmm. are Ahsoka Tano,
yep.
which I think we hoped would be,
yeah,
you know, a confirmed rumor, but we didn't know for sure.
Well, we had said it before. Even just getting Rosario Dawson was,
yeah,
you're not just getting her for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, in episode 5 was her backdoor pilot into her TV show.
Yeah.
I don't think we see her next week in the finale. I think we
you
see
mean
her
tomorrow?
Again.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep, in the finale. But we'll see her again in her show. Also announced was Rangers of the New Republic. Not a lot of details regarding this. Again, speculation is that it has something to do with the two X-Wing pilots that seem to fly around and pop in.
Yeah.
From time to time in The Mandalorian. And could have something to do with Cara Dune. Like, we don't really know. But this will also, like I said, tie in directly and crossover. The three shows are planned to feature crossovers in the future. So, like the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of interplay between these three shows, which is going to be awesome. Okay, we already knew about this, but confirmation of Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
Yep.
You know, which spun off of The Clone Wars, will debut on Disney+. We got the title of Diego Luna's spinoff, which is just called Andor.
Yep.
And obviously Cassian Andor from Rogue One, going to debut in 2022. It is currently filming. All right. We talked a few weeks ago about a female-led Star Wars show that was going to be helmed by Leslie Headland, from a Russian Doll creator. So her show is going to be called The Acolyte. This is set in the High Republic era of the franchise. So the High Republic is obviously the yep. next thing that we're going to get a lot of. We've been talking about for a few weeks, the books and the
right.
you know, TV series and all that. So this is going to take place in that timeline. Again, not a lot is known about this other than that it is a female-led TV show. All right. Here's confusing news to
Uh-oh.
Me. Hayden Christensen is returning as Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Okay.
This is confusing in a few different ways. This series is set to take place 10 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith.
So it's like right in the middle. 10 years
right
after,
in the middle.
10 before.
10 years after, 10 years before. So Darth Vader is full-on Darth Vader at this point. There is no human component visible to anybody, right? Like... I don't understand Hayden Christensen being Vader. Unless there's a lot of flashback that's happening here.
Yep.
I know it's just confusing. Like, I'm super happy for Hayden Christensen to come back as Vader. But like, I don't think we ever see him with his helmet off. So,
well, like, they could
anybody,
put him in.
Like, what
like,
does it matter who's in the suit?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, same thing, I guess, as Pedro Pascal in The Mandalorian, right? But even, like, Hayden's voice, like, he doesn't sound like Darth Vader. They're still going to have to go with the full-on...
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones voice. So, I don't know. I'm really happy to see this, but I'm really confused about it.
I'm not confused yet. I'll wait for it to happen before I get confused.
Right. Okay, point number two. We have been led to believe for 40-odd years that Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi never crossed paths again after Mustafar until the Death Star, right?
No.
And so
I
now we have a middle...
Twitter.
Yeah, now we have a middle story... where apparently they did cross paths.
Right.
But if this takes place 10 years after...
Mustafar.
At this point, Vader is not just the learner. You know what I mean? Like, again, this is another
right.
one of those I don't recall ever owning a droid things where this is going to sort of circumvent some of the things we've heard and were led to believe with the trilogy.
Well, I
don't think it's bad specifically.
It's not bad, but it just
kind of rewrites history a little bit.
It doesn't, though. They haven't written it yet, so we don't know it rewrites history. All we know is that he's going to be in the show. If they don't face off, then we're fine.
Well, no, but the announcements specifically say that they are going to cross swords in this series.
Well, that's their announcement, but it doesn't mean they're actually going to. I mean, you don't know. Maybe they don't fight. It means they cross swords. It might be a play on words, meaning they're going to cross paths or whatever.
Well, cross swords is that's my words, though. Like, the announcement specifically said that they were going to face off in the show. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, we'll see. They're smarter writers. They're smarter than I am.
And they hear all this fans.
Yeah.
You know, because this has been going on Twitter. I had this discussion with one of my home theater listeners. And it's all valid because he actually says, I mean, there's a couple of things in Star Wars, but the thing is we assumed this stuff. So we've been assuming, and like you said, we've assumed this for 40 years since the Battle of Mustafar. Well, we didn't know about the Battle of Mustafar until we saw it.
Well, right. We didn't, but we always knew that.
And that was just in
when
what,
I left
2000?
You, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. Like, we always were led to believe that they parted ways when he was the student of Obi-Wan.
But he never said in 77, he never said, we have never seen each other since then.
But he says, when I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Well, that's when he left him, though, that day. Doesn't mean they didn't have lunch in between.
Yeah, well, then why say that? Like, there's no reason to say that. Then.
Well, because they've
never... There's a lot of useless exposition, you
know?
But
maybe they didn't... Like I'm saying, maybe in this Obi-Wan series, they don't actually fight each other. They talk or they... I don't know. Like you said, they're smarter writers. You don't think they thought of this too? And especially with all of the stuff we've seen with Mandalorian and how good they are at dropping in nuggets and what they did with Rogue One and how they take the, parsecs issue. You know, the 12 parsecs and people had, they've rewritten a lot of stuff and covered a lot of holes over the years. I have the utmost confidence they're not going to go and make an Obi-Wan series and create a giant hole in the story.
Well, you would hope not. You would hope not. But again, just my talking points.
You gotta have them, otherwise we don't have a podcast.
Well, exactly. It was the most, I was gonna say probably not the most because I wasn't expecting a Secret Invasion show either, but like this was the biggest bombshell news to me, really, that he was returning for that show because,
that's been speculated for a while though, that he's been coming back.
Not that I ever saw. Not, or
Hayden
that we
Christensen?
Ever talked about.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it.
Must have been the other guy. It wasn't me. All right, moving on. Looks like this, and I think this is an animated project, although it doesn't say specifically here. We're getting a droid story, which is going to feature a new hero alongside R2-D2 and C-3PO. So,
BB-8? No.
I don't know.
No, I know. It's going to be a new
one. Even know that it's a droid or a human, necessarily. And no idea when this takes place, so...
I have a feeling that's a kid's story.
Yeah, because we can kind of account for their whereabouts through the entire timeline of the 9-movie saga. So,
right,
this must take place at
maybe it's their droid retirement home.
Maybe, yeah, could be after. Right, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Lando is a new event series coming to Disney Plus. Also, no word on whether it's old Lando or young Lando, or if it's Donald Glover or Billy Dee Williams, or both.
I thought we heard, remember there was speculation they were both going to be in it?
We talked about that before, and that is also the speculation again now.
Okay.
Is that it'll be sort of like a young Indiana Jones Chronicles, where Billy Dee Williams will be like recounting his tales and Donald Glover will be acting them out. Again, that's what we wish to happen. I don't know for sure that that's what they're doing, but that would be awesome. I would love to see both of them incorporated into the series. Okay, and we're getting Star Wars Visions, which is an anime anthology series, also coming to Disney Plus. Animated, of course, and really no other word on that. So,
all right.
Yeah. Okay. Star Wars movie news. Here's the other giant bombshell news. Star Wars Rogue Squadron being directed by Patty Jenkins. So this is the next Star Wars movie. It's due out in December 2023. So, again, I don't think we had any inkling that she was attached to Star Wars at all. This was, you know, pretty unknown news. But that's awesome.
Like, did you see the trailer?
Great. I didn't see the trailer, no.
Okay.
I saw her little...
That's what I'm like, talking about.
Oh, okay.
Where she's rollerblading?
Where she has like the...
awesome.
Yeah, the orange jumpsuit on or whatever.
Yeah, she has the X-Wing flight suit, and then she's walking to the X-Wing.
Yeah.
Parked on the tarmac. Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, so yeah, I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be fantastic. And then also a little bit of discussion about Taika Waititi's Star Wars movie. So again, it was kind of teased in May that he was attached to direct a Star Wars movie, although it had not been confirmed by anybody at Disney or Lucasfilm. But it has now been confirmed and is apparently already in development. So yeah, can't wait to see what that's going to be about. Notably absent from the movie announcements was any mention of Rian Johnson in his trilogy. I think he's been quietly written out of the franchise.
I don't know about that. Not in this announcement.
So. Yeah, and not for the next 3 or 4 years. So, that is it for...
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Disney, Star Wars, Marvel news. Yes, it is a huge... dump of information.
Yeah.
The first thing they announced was like they started with Star Wars and the first thing they announced was Ahsoka. And I think I texted you and, you know, said, "Hey, are you paying attention to the news?" And like if that's all we had gotten, I was happy.
I know.
But then like the rest of the evening came and just stuff just kept like my phone was going crazy with like...
Well, the phone's acting normal. You were going crazy.
Yeah, no. My phone was just had announced, like, you know, notification after notification of this stuff. And I had people, I had a customer from the store, like a Facebook messengering me every time they announced something new. And it was like, it's like, it just never ended. It just like kept on coming all night long. So it was pretty good day.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, I got some same thing. I got Instagram people, listeners on Instagram hitting me. I had obviously texts from people, friends and stuff. But yeah, it was crazy.
You know, and I had some people talking about. I heard on different, you know, social media outlets or you know other things. You know, like, are we going to get Star Wars burnout or Marvel burnout? I'm not.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, there is not one thing in all of those announcements that made me say to myself, "Man, we don't need that." You know what I mean? Like,
no.
I'm excited for all of this stuff.
And the other thing is look at how it's paced out, too. Like, Rogue Squadron's not until 2023.
Right.
You know, what was the date on that, though, that wasn't December, was it?
Might have been. I already closed the...
That's
closed the
2 years away.
Yeah.
Three.
A couple of years away.
It's three. Because this is, we're in December of 20.
Of 2020, right.
So that's 3 years away.
Which we knew, like we had been told that we were, you know, it would be a few years before we got another movie. Now we'll get all these shows. Like I can't imagine the Ahsoka show isn't in some form of early development already.
Right.
Because, you know, like they've already got her under contract and, you know, they're going to want to get moving on that stuff. Now, there is a little conflict with Rosario, because she is also set to star in the DMZ, which is the Ava DuVernay project for HBO Max. So depending on when the filming for that is going to take place, you know, we may have to wait a little while for one or the other. But she, Rosario's kind of known for being able to juggle multiple franchises, and projects. Oh, yeah. So, I can't imagine it'll be too much of an issue, but she is set to star in that show as well, which is also in development. So I don't know what her schedule looks like when it comes to that.
Yeah. If she has trouble, just call Henry Cavill. He'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah. He'll tell her how to manage, or The Rock.
Or The Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. You call The Rock. Exactly. Or Dr. Joe. He can tell you how to manage all this stuff.
Because Dr. Joe's on everything now.
Yeah. He's like The Rock of the dork universe.
Yeah, exactly. So he shows up everywhere. Hello.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. It's a good one.
Yeah.
And he'll be back on here again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing Harry Potter in a few weeks. We'll do our next Harry Potter edition after this Mandalorian stuff settles down.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dr. Joe, it's the Rock of the dork gooniverse. Dorkshire gooniverse. There you go. All right. Is that it, John?
I think that's enough.
We're
at
like the, you know, over an hour now. We haven't even gotten to comics yet, but we've had a lot of fun stuff.
We have. Yeah. Right. Now, comics is a little bit abridged this week because we won't have FOC or checkout, really, because I was a slacker today. I didn't do it. So, but I have a lot of speculator.
Yeah.
Stuff here.
All right.
So,
So let's get to it.
Okay.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So Iron Man number 4 came out today. There's a couple of covers here to pay attention to. The first one is the Nullified variant cover. It's really just a cool cover. It's selling only for cover price right now, but I think all of these Nullified covers a year from now we'll have a lot of interest as they sell out and become a little harder to get. But there is also, we've mentioned it the last few weeks, Marvel is sending out like one Stormbreakers variant per week attached to a different book each week. And this week it was Iron Man. Can you guess who did the cover?
Let me see.
Without reading the notes, you probably still could guess.
I've already deleted it, but let me guess. Is it initials PM?
It is.
All right.
Yeah. So there's a Peach Momoko variant cover here.
I think that's just the go-to guess whenever you say.
Well, it is. That's why I got a cover,
guess who did it.
Yeah. this was a pretty cool cover, though. It actually was cool. And it is going anywhere between $20 and $40. But I would expect this to be closer to the $40 mark. I sold mine for $40 today. So definitely.
That one isn't it, is it?
I would have to be looking at you. Let me see. No, that's the main cover. Yeah, that's just the main cover.
That's a nice cover, though, too.
It is really cool, though.
Are you reading that story?
I am, yeah. I haven't
it's
read.
Pretty good.
I haven't read number 4 yet. I didn't read a single book today, but
right.
But yeah, I'm caught up to through number 3 at least. Okay, Immortal Hulk number. Oh, not Immortal Hulk. This is King in Black. Immortal Hulk number one.
Yep.
Not to be confused with the Immortal Hulk 41, which also hit the stands today. So scheduling. But this is a 1 in 50 variant. On this that has the Hulk as Santa, and that has some interest selling for between $65 and $80.
There's a lap you don't want to sit on.
Yeah, no kidding. all right, so this was the surprise book of the week, Solid Blood, number 17. This was one of those Robert Kirkman surprise comic book drops. This wasn't ordered by anybody. This just showed up on our invoices last week.
I was going to say, I'm like, then nobody got it.
Well, it wasn't ordered by a single store. This was given away by Robert Kirkman. Similar to what he did with
Walking Dead.
Oblivion Song 2 years or so ago, where it just showed up.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, this was a surprise drop. This is a comic that takes place in a parallel universe from his and Ryan Otley's what am I trying to say? Invincible era, I guess.
So
I didn't get it, again, didn't get a chance to read this at all, so I don't know exactly what it was. But like I said, this was a surprise to everybody, so of course speculators were out in droves trying to get a hold of this thing. And orders were not generous. Like, I got four copies. Like, so I don't know what the, I don't know what they were based on.
Right.
Because, you know, generally it's based on what you ordered of a certain other book. And, you know, there's really not many books from Image that I don't order more than four copies of. So I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what the ratio of this was. But it's selling for between $40 and $50 now.
Wow.
So, like I said, it's just crazy. And like, you know, again, I don't know what every store got. I am not a big store by any means, but I only got four of these. So
yeah,
there's not a million of them out there. I think it is going to be reorderable from Diamond. So I don't, I wouldn't necessarily go crazy, paying money on for this, but yeah, like I said, a lot of people looking for that. Star Wars, Darth Vader, number 8. We're looking at the 1 in 10 design variant cover. This features Ochi, the Sith Assassin, selling for between $25 and $30. Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood, number 2. There's a secret variant here. It looks like about a 1 in 10, because I got one copy of this. main cover shows Wolverine masked. And the secret variant has him unmasked. So that is selling for about $25.
Nice.
And that is it for this week's speculator books. I'll have some others in a minute, but
cool.
We're going to finish with this week's back issue bonus first.
All righty. Well, let's do that.
Yeah. So Thor, God of Thunder, number 2. This is the first appearance of Gore, the God Butcher. So one of the announcements we didn't talk about was the announcement of Christian Bale's role in Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yeah,
Christian Bale is playing Gore, the God Butcher. So this book was $2, then it was like $30. Now it's $200.
It's so, about right.
Yeah, so it's crazy. And only going to go up. Like, there's no, I don't know what the ceiling is on this, but should be great. You know, Christian Bale is going to be great in that. So this thing is just going to go crazy. All right. Countdown presents The Search for Ray Palmer, Superwoman, Batwoman, number 1. So that title's a mouthful. This is the first appearance of Plastic Woman, which we mentioned last week, is in development from Warner Brothers. So this is now selling for $20 to $30. Was a dollar book, so look in the dollar bins for this. Star Wars Legacy, number 1. Lots of first appearances here. This is selling for between $150 and $300. So big spread on there depending on the condition. And there's a third printing that has an Adam Hughes cover that's also $150. Number 2 of this series is also a $100 book. So Star Wars is pretty hot again based on last week.
is it?
Yeah, just a bit. Mace Windu, number 5. This has an appearance by Ahsoka Tano, I think her second appearance. So Clone Wars number 1, which is her first appearance in comics, is starting to skyrocket out of range for most collectors. So kind of like we saw with Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen, other early appearances are starting to go up in price because, you know, people are trying to get them. This is her first in-canon appearance, though, in the comics. So it is selling for, right now, $75. Don't be surprised, though, if we're talking about this in a week or two at $150. So I went digging for this because this came out while I was open. So
so you have them.
I might have, but I don't.
Oh.
But I went looking to see if I did. So,
right. Yeah, you don't want to do another $4 sale.
Do not. Okay. Invincible Iron Man number one. This is from 2017. Also when I was open. So we all know, but most people that follow this know that Riri Williams' first appearance was in, issue 7, I believe, of the series.
Okay.
But for some reason, this is the first actual Ironheart appearance. So actually, this is the next series. Like, her first appearance was in the Iron Man series that was right before this one started. But she was just Riri Williams there. This is her first appearance as Ironheart. So again, based on the news of last week, this is selling for $15 to $20. Expect that to climb continuously too.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Justice Society of America number one. This is the first appearance of Cyclone. We had an announcement that an actress was cast as Cyclone for the Black Adam movie. And so that made this book now $15 to $20. Cyclone also appears on the cover of issue number 3, which is selling for about $12. So again, more books to pull from your dollar boxes, because that's where all of these sat prior to last week. All right. And that is it for back issue bonus.
But
as promised, I have bonus speculator books based on the Disney news dump from last week. None of these have pricing attached. They're just books to kind of keep your eye on. The first one is Vote Loki, issue number 1. That's from 2016. Amazing Spider-Man Annual 16, first appearance of Monica Rambeau. Vision and Scarlet Witch number 1 from 1982, 4-issue miniseries. All New Marvel Now Point 1 from 2014. Don't have a note on why.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Sunfire in Big Hero 6 number 1. There was also other news announced that we didn't talk about that had to do with Pixar and, you know, Disney.
Yeah.
And there were some Big Hero 6 news, and that's why this book is on here. Incredible Hulk 282. This is the first Hulk and She-Hulk team up. Exiles 2018 number 3. This is Peggy Carter as Captain America. That appears in the What If series. Groot number 4 from 2015 has a baby Groot cameo. Iron Man number 284. This is the first Rhodey in War Machine armor.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible Hulk 418, first appearance of Talos. Secret Invasion number 1. Invincible Iron Man number 7 and 9, cameo and first appearance of Riri Williams. Talked about this one. Some of these we've already talked about. Thor, God of Thunder, number 2. Iron Man 225. Again, I don't have notes there. It's just on the list. I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip the next one, too, because I don't really know why. Star Wars Tales, number 19. This is the first appearance of Ben Skywalker, who is Luke's son. Know. Yeah, I don't know where that comes from either, but... Marvel Super Special number 18, first appearance of Indiana Jones in comics. Star Wars Droids number 1 from 1985. Star Wars Clone Wars number 1, 2008, first Ahsoka and Captain Rex. Star Wars Return of the Jedi number 3, first Mon Mothma. We didn't talk about that earlier, but the actress who played Mon Mothma in Rogue One is confirmed to be back in the Cassian Andor series. So,
oh, cool.
Aliens number 1 from Dark Horse Comics, 1988. Dark Horse Presents 24 has the alien origin. Dark Horse presents number 36, first Alien vs. Predator. And Batman 313, this is the first appearance of Tim Fox. We didn't talk about that, but Tim Fox is the next Batman in the future state.
I remember that Dark Horse, that number 36. I remember that Alien Predator event and it being a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I remember those two.
What year was that? Do you know?
Oh, it had to be early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be early 90s. That was when I was still collecting comics the first time, like before I stopped collecting comics.
Right.
These were coming out, so it had to
I wasn't collecting. I remember hearing that, like, I remember seeing it, too.
Yeah.
Probably read it.
I probably had those too back in the day. Before I
just remember what a big deal that was that they were crossing over in the comics. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then we hoped for a movie, which we eventually got. And
We wished we didn't. But
careful what you wish for.
Yeah. As far as that's what I have for
that's quite a bit. That's a good list. All of that is in the show notes. So if you're listening and you just head into your store, go to the dollar bin and try to pull those out.
Start digging for some of those.
We got a lot of news. So
yeah,
Disney dumped a lot.
They did.
Yes, they did. All right. Really short FOC.
Yeah, none.
All right.
Now, to clarify, there is one. Like, this wasn't necessarily a week where there wasn't an FOC. I just didn't get to it today. I just didn't have time to do it. So there is FOC this week, but I don't have it.
Okay.
So I don't have any covers or any of that stuff.
First time in 2 years, John.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad all day.
I'll let
but
you off
I just
with
knew
a
I
warning.
I just knew I wasn't going to get to it. You know?
I know.
By the time I texted you around 5:30, and I was like, "There's no way I'm going to get there." So
yeah,
I left work on the floor at the store at 7:30, and I had to get out of there so I could eat and do this. I didn't even finish. I didn't even finish.
Things happen, John.
Yeah, didn't even finish my day. So.
All right.
But yeah.
So, and we don't have much for checkout either. Because you didn't get to read.
I didn't get to read anything.
What do you remember of Crossover?
I remember that I read it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because we didn't talk about it last week.
We didn't talk about it last week. I read it between last week and today.
Did you?
But I don't really remember
it. Did you like it?
I did like it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. I just don't remember exactly what happened in it.
Remember in the opening pages, they had a crossover with the artists, the writers.
Yes, that was
pretty
remember
cool.
That. Yeah, that
they
was
actually
cool.
Used like real writers.
Yeah,
and there's a couple of pages.
And he was poking fun at his friends, really.
Because
friends with those guys.
And then there's another page where they show a bunch of supers in like a prison.
Yeah, now that was kind
cool.
of a riff on the Spawn issue 10, I believe, did something similar to that.
Okay.
Where he showed basically all the Marvel and DC characters, just their hands coming out of like the bars, like the prison bars. And that was sort of what they did here.
You got a silhouette of Batman.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
You could
this
see
was,
that. But yeah,
yeah
you
could
kind of
see all the you could kind of see all the gloves. Yeah, Todd McFarlane did that in Spawn, and I think this was kind of a riff on that. But it was really cool once again to see that. So
the story's really good too, the ending.
It is. Like I said, I feel bad cuz I just my mind goes to mush after I read these things cuz I just go on to the next book.
Right. But
I remember enjoying it, I mean, I still think it's a great series.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we're only in book two, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
Seeing we're in checkout.
You should be able to still get both of them in most stores, because I think everybody ordered pretty heavy on those.
Right.
I've still got issue ones and twos at the store, so.
Yep. All right. Then quickly we'll move right along to Real World. I'm sure you have something here.
I do. I had a big week this week, actually. I watched a lot of stuff.
So, all right. Yeah, what do we got?
I watched a lot of stuff this week. So we finished Selena. That was kind of the first thing we did last Thursday. I think we had 4 episodes left of that. I enjoyed that show quite a bit. So that was pretty good. And then we watched the 2 latest episodes of The Flight Attendant. So I think tomorrow there's 1 left, and it'll be the finale. So
how's that coming along?
Really good. I really like it.
Okay,
I like it. And then let's see, what else did we watch? We watched a few movies. We watched Selfless. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was called Selfless. It was Ryan Reynolds. I think it was from like 2015. But I had never seen this movie.
Okay. I think
he
I saw
was.
That.
Yeah, he. Ben Kingsley is starts in the movie, and he plays a character that's, you know, obviously in his 80s or so, and he's gonna die, and he's incredibly wealthy.
Yes.
Yeah, and so he basically buys Ryan Reynolds' body to be transplanted into after he dies.
Yeah,
thinking that it's basically a lab grown body, and then he finds out once he's in it that that's not the case. So I really liked this movie a lot. I had never seen it. I don't even remember it ever being in the theaters.
Oh, you don't?
Really? No, I don't remember it at all. Lydia was watching it when I came home from work, like Monday night or something, and she had just started it. Now I got to looking at it, and I was like, rewind that and start it over so I can watch it. And we watched it. So yeah, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Sunday we watched The Hobbit for 12 hours. So,
You watched all three?
Watched all three of the extended, of the extended
nice.
4K discs. I had never seen the extended versions of these three movies.
Oh, really?
So there was a lot of scenes that they added to this.
Well, it's just like Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
They had like an hour.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that they added to these movies that I hadn't seen yet. So I don't know if you – obviously we've had these for a few weeks, but this was the first time I had a chance to sit down and watch these. I don't know if you've watched any of them yet, but they're beautiful.
I've delved
into – The Hobbit looks
– Yes. Yeah, I haven't looked at The Hobbit
gorgeous.
Yet.
Yeah,
but I've looked at Lord of the Rings and just the picture and some of the sound that
and
I've heard.
The Atmos is great. Now, again, this is not the podcast for home theater stuff, but
no.
But they are fantastic restorations. So can't wait to start jumping into the Lord of the Rings movies. We'll probably start watching those tomorrow. Thumbs up on those. Let's see. We watched last night. I watched Gemini Man, which I hadn't seen.
Oh, you hadn't seen that yet?
I wasn't super interested in it because I don't like Will Smith all that much. But
I love Will Smith. Wow, you are my chocolate to my peanut butter.
We were looking for something to watch, and now I didn't have. This was on Amazon Prime, so it wasn't 4K, and it wasn't
60 frames
Atmos and all of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, it still rocked. Like soundtrack on that movie is incredible. Like even just coming through Amazon Prime, my speakers were working. So, surprisingly, the movie was better than I thought it was going to be. I actually enjoyed it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just thought the effects were fantastic. Like the, you know, kind of like the younging, the de-aging effects on Will Smith were really, really well done. There was a couple of moments where I felt like it wasn't great, but overall, I mean, he looked like young Will Smith. I mean,
grab the 4K.
There's plenty of young Will Smith film out there that they could work from. So
that's what they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They did a great job on it.
I did a whole podcast on that one.
I know you did. I heard it.
Okay.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard the podcast.
But yeah,
I didn't listen to all of it because I stopped at the spoiler parts because I hadn't seen it. But I heard your kind of talk on the quality of it.
Definitely grab the 4K because
well,
60
I did.
Frames,
I already put it in my cart at Best Buy. I'll be picking it up.
The 60 frames is crazy, especially that opening scene. They do some stuff that you're like, where they show the bridges and then the train go by and then him with his eye on the scope and everything and the detail. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's really,
so
really,
cool.
It was really good. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I think that's about it. Which it was a lot. Like I said, we watched quite a bit this week.
Cool.
And then we watched Mando, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yep. All right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We watched, I forgot. We watched the, what was it called? The Bill Murray movie on Apple TV. Bill Murray and Rashida Jones. I can't remember the name of it. But, On the Rocks. It was called On the Rocks.
Okay.
Pretty good. I mean, I'm a big Bill Murray fan. It's, you know, it's a slower movie. This is a drama, comedy drama. So, I mean, there's not like a lot of action or anything, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed that one. So we watched that also.
Cool. Yeah. All right. I had a pretty short week. I was busy, but Jen and I finished Queen's Gambit.
Okay.
Really enjoyed that. Yep. And if you go to chess.com, you can actually play her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was.
Did you see I saw a meme this week. I don't know if you saw it, that superimposed her playing chess against Chewbacca on the Millennium Falcon.
No, I didn't see that.
It is awesome. I was like, I almost sent it to you, but I was busy and I just kind of scrolled past it. But I thought that was cool.
I saw an article or something where you could go to chess.com and play, what's it, Beth. And
right.
You could play her at different ages and classifications. Like, so like when she was 8 years old, she was ranked 800. That was what point she had. So I went on chess.com and I'm like, oh, I figured I was going to get spanked. I don't know what my ranking is or anything. Right. And I like killed her.
Oh yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this is easy. I'm like, she's supposed to be great, but she was only 8. Right.
Right.
So then I was like, I'll go to I'll go to when she was 9 and she was ranked 1200.
Right.
And I'm like, all right. And now I'm cocky and I got my ass kicked.
Yeah. It's like, so you can beat 8-year-old Beth.
I can beat 8. Well, I've played her 4 times now at 1200 and I'm actually having an actual game now at 1200. I'm getting closer to beating her, but I haven't played in years and I just got cocky that first one and I was like, I literally gave away my queen. I moved a knight and I was like, oh, I exposed my queen. What an idiot. And she just came in and just ripped me out. My second game against her, I'm sitting there playing while we're watching something else. I'm with Jen. And I go, she's just toying with me now. She's just like ripping pieces. I was like, checkmate is right there. But she just wants, and that is kind of how she is in the show too. She likes
it
to
was
kind of,
yeah. She wanted to kind of rub your face in it.
Yeah. She wants to decimate you at the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, we finished that. What a great ending. What a great story. And it
was really good.
Yeah. They did such a good job with it. We just finished it tonight, and it's pretty funny too because as the show goes on, I was thinking like I knew we were going to finish it tonight, and we were going to talk about it. And the whole time, I'm wondering, I'm like, I was going to say to you, I was like, I wonder if she's a sociopath because through most of the show, she shows like zero emotion,
right?
Except for anger. When she gets mad that she might lose or something, right?
Right.
And then she finally does break down. In that one scene, and you're like, I saw it, and I was like, oh, okay, she does have some emotion.
Yeah.
But, it's a really, really good story, and I just so well done for, and how she plays it out on her, I was saying to Jen and Meg today, like, you know, like, she looks at the ceiling, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, which is
earlier. Awesome,
yeah.
And I said to her, I go, that's such a creative way for the writers to put that in, because... You know what the final episode looks like, and everybody goes and looks up at the ceiling.
Right.
And I said, what I thought was cool about that is all great chess players do what she's doing there.
Right.
But they had to find a way to make it a visual thing for the viewer.
Right.
To understand how a chess player thinks. And I thought that was such a creative way. And, I mean, in the show, it makes it look like she has superpowers, but... The guy she's playing against does the same thing because they're all visualizing moves ahead, right? But it was just such a creative way to show how a chess player like thinks. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was. And
then I just watched some movies. The aforementioned Die Hard.
Right.
Watched that this week. Great, great movie. If I haven't mentioned
it. I might have heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Another great Christmas movie I watched. First Blood. So good. Yep. So good. Somebody actually tweeted out today. One person put out a tweet saying their favorite, tweet out your favorite practical effect or whatever it was. And somebody tweeted that stunt where Stallone jumps into the tree in First Blood to jump off the cliff. And supposedly he said it, 3 times he did that. He broke multiple ribs. It took 3 takes to get that, and he had to jump 3 times. And I'm like, You can't get that in one take.
Like, yeah.
Jump off this cliff into a tree. All right, take two. What?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Not to interrupt, but that made me think of one more thing I watched.
Oh, of course.
Have you started watching Marvel 616 yet on Disney
Plus?
No,
no.
Okay, so yeah, I watched the first episode. I watched only one episode. The first episode is Japanese Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And the reason why it made me think of that is because the stuntman who played Japanese Spider-Man talked about that. You know, being in the 70s, you know, everything was practical effects. And, like, this guy went through a lot, you know? He had explosions blowing up on him, and he was climbing up. Yeah, you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But, I kind of had forgot that existed until a customer was talking about it. So
I know, you flip by it. And then
I watched the first episode, I think, last night, actually. And it's going to be pretty good, but there's, I think, 8 or 9 episodes.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. But speaking of Marvel, good segue, John.
Yeah.
I also watched Black Panther this week in 3D.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And you got to see it in 3D. It's the only way to see it.
I was going to say, I don't have a way to do that.
Right, you don't have a 3D TV?
No.
Oh, come on.
I do not.
It looks really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. I only meant to just check it out.
Yeah, but
and then next thing you know, you're like, oh, what time is it? Oh, time for bed. It's only 12:30. But yeah, that looks so good in 3D. That was really good. Other than that, we haven't really done any other shows. Like I said, we did. That was a big deal for us to finish Queen's Gambit.
Just to finish a show, because you got like a million shows started that you guys never finished.
I know. Jen and I were saying that tonight. I'm like, I've told you about more shows that you've blown past and finished.
Yeah,
on me.
Yeah. Because what was that one?
Check
did
this
you
out.
Ever, did you ever finish that one with?
Probably not.
Oh, what the hell was it called? The one with Kyle Chandler and Ben Mendelsohn.
Depressing.
So you never finished it?
No.
Oh,
no, we have so many unfinished shows. Although Jen and I were talking about a show and I was like, we should go back and do that one. Finish that one. She goes, we did. I was like, okay. I can't remember what show it was, but we did finish it. And I was like, oh, okay. I can't remember if it was Killing Eve or one of those shows, but yeah, I don't know. I can't do shows like you do. I can't sit down and just watch a bunch. I need to do something. I'll watch a show. And especially, you know what the other thing is you like, not that you like it, but for some reason, like I get up, I can't watch like, Queen's Gambit was good, but it wasn't distressing. I can't watch a show that's like very distressing.
Oh, over and over. I don't get emotionally attached to.
I don't.
So
yeah, you're a rock.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that was good.
I like the sappy stuff. I don't know that the older I get, the more I like the, like I said, the sappy stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't get stressed or tense watching shows.
Like, I do.
My mother's watching I told you about Big Sky last week, I think.
Yes.
And my mother's watching that, and she's the same way. She's like, oh, I got one more to watch, but it was almost bedtime, and I couldn't watch it before I went to bed. And I'm thinking, I don't have any problems with that stuff.
No,
like,
you want to hear
watch
a,
it.
Yeah, you want to hear a funny one with me, though? It's like, this is my personality. I don't like uncomfortable anything, like uncomfortable humor or like awkward humor. So, like, Modern Family, great show, but I will not put that on by myself because I don't like that kind of humor where it's just like, it's just awkward humor, like to make fun of another person and a person, if a person on screen feels awkward and out of place, I do. And I hate that. And I just, so I'm like, I just don't like that humor, but I know a lot of people, I mean, obviously people love that humor.
Yeah. I love Modern Family. Yeah. So.
Oh, I like it when I watch it, but I can only watch it if somebody else goes, I want to watch this. All right, put it on. And then I'll laugh. And I mean, there's great shows. Phil's got some great, like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his one-liners of like the one where he's like, I'm going to get a tattoo on my back. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awful. But, all right, enough of that. All right, you ready to get into our spoiler-free talk of Mandalorian?
Sure.
Spoiler-free, John.
Spoiler-free.
Your
favorite
part.
Yeah, I know, because I don't have anything to say spoiler-free. It was good. Okay. Like, I'm ready.
All right, John. What did you think spoiler-free? Or did you already spoil it with...
It was good.
It was good?
Yeah. I mean, it was a good episode. It was a little bit slower compared to the last two that we've gotten. Like, it wasn't as... I don't think it was as... like, we didn't get any big reveals. Like, we no Ahsoka or no Boba Fett or anything like that.
I'm going to pull a John. Kinda.
Kinda?
I'm going to dunk my peanut butter into your chocolate.
Okay.
At the end of this episode, and now I'm going to start with, in true John fashion, I loved the episode.
It, right.
I loved the episode. It was great. And right. We'll get into that in spoilers. But at the end of this episode, I felt a little bit let down.
Yeah.
Because it's the second to last episode of the season.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be more of a higher build. This felt more like episode two.
Right. I felt the same. I kind of felt the same way.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an important off, you
it
know,
was,
a
you
side
know,
mission. It's very yep. important. They need to do it. Not like maybe episode two where it, well, he did need to do that too. But
right.
it just felt like I was expecting more, and that's when you get into trouble. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's when, as
exactly.
a viewer, you get upset. It's like, this isn't what I wanted. I was expecting a higher build and then a big, leading us into the finale for the season.
Right.
And we didn't necessarily, we got some good, really good stuff.
There was some good stuff. There was some good moments.
Great moments.
Bill Burr had some really good moments.
I thought he stole the show almost. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. A couple of moments with Mando that were good. But, yeah, it was not what I was thinking it was going to be either. You know, I was expecting a lot more high energy.
yeah.
You know, because, again, like you said, this is it. Tomorrow is the finale. And I don't feel like we necessarily led into it. Like, we didn't go barreling into the finale, you know?
No. A little bit of a down dip after episode, what was that? Episode
six.
Yeah, so a little bit, or 14. And, you know, so you,
you're right,
I thought that, but I thought we were going to keep rising to episode 'cause
that's what we've seen with,
16.
like with Clone Wars, we talked about the last four and how they just kept building and building to the finale. And this one seemed to, it took a little dip. And again, not to say it was bad, like you said, I loved the episode too. It was a good episode. But it felt like it shouldn't have been episode 15, you know?
Right. So. And I think that's because of, like you said, and I tried to explain that to Joe because we didn't watch this one together and I watched it in the morning. And again, loved it. We'll get into some of the stuff that we absolutely loved in a minute. But I was trying to explain it to him later that night, and he's like, I loved it. It was great. And I go, I did too. I said, it just felt like a letdown. But then he hasn't seen that Clone Wars yet because he hasn't finished the Clone Wars.
Right.
So he didn't see season seven, which those last four, when we talked about those last four episodes, we were like, oh, there's going to be a letdown. You know, after, you know, each episode built and we were expecting a letdown because the first one, the one previous was so great. We're like, we got to have a letdown. And it just kept rising. Four episodes in a row that just kept bringing it. And that's what I thought was going to happen here. And I thought, you know, and we didn't get it. But it's, again, still great.
Yeah.
So. All right.
I'm going to say you're like 1.5 out of 5 on that description. So. Just saying.
the irony is stupid. But you agree with me.
I know.
What's that 1.5 out of 2?
Yeah.
It's on a scale of 2. Yeah. Oh, that was great. Seriously, John, you've been holding on to that since then, and that's when you decide to roll that one out?
No, I haven't. It just came to me.
Yeah.
Just because you said you were going to dip into my realm, so I couldn't have prepared that, really.
No, I know. Well, I needed to come up with 6 points.
Yeah. One and a half out of two.
All right.
That's pretty good, actually. That's better than mine.
Oh, man. I got a good one. I'll tell you later off air. It's pretty funny. Okay. That's it for this week. And we're going to get into Mandalorian. We're going to do Kryptonite. And, you know, we're getting some feedback on Twitter and on Instagram and new listeners and stuff. And it's been a while since we've... Why do we call it Kryptonite, John? Do you even remember?
I do, because it's in a Kryptonite... The key is in a Kryptonite rock hidden at the front of the store.
Yep.
And only those in the know to look in that fake plastic rock at the front of the store that's so obviously holding a key and painted lime green.
Yeah, because that's what...
Because you were going to give that away at one point. The Kryptonite rock was something that you made to give away, and it just kind of morphed from there. So
yeah, and we have... So it's Kryptonite Key Club. And if you know where the key is, you come back and you listen, and that's why you lock the door and you got to get the key to come in. That's where we talk spoilers.
Exactly.
So we haven't mentioned that in a while. We just keep saying we're doing Kryptonite, and it's like people are like, what? What the hell's that?
Yeah.
So there you go. All right.
Now you know.
So we're going to be doing that in a second, but until then, you can reach us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can reach us on email at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And obviously you can find us on Instagram too, because more and more people are talking. I'm getting DMs there all the time. I got my buddy Zach. We'll talk about that in a minute. He likes to hit us up over there. And also you can check out us and all the other great podcasts at the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And as always, please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. It's been a while since we've had one, and I know there's some new people out there, so really appreciate it. Give us a 5-star rating and even just a "they're good." That's all you're going to say. Not even great, just good.
Just good, right.
Even say "there," just write "good."
Good.
That's it. With 5 stars.
Cool. Is good.
Is good.
Is good.
Is good. So that will do it. We will be back next week before Christmas, just before Christmas. The holidays coming around really, really quickly. I'm in the middle of a snowstorm right here, so hopefully we'll have a white Christmas. I doubt you will, right, John?
I don't think so.
Have you ever had white Christmas down there?
Yes. We had snow on Christmas Eve, like in 2005.
That's cool.
To the point where the kids were able to go out and make, like, you know, 1-foot-tall snowmen. But then it melted by the morning, so it doesn't last.
Yeah, but it still must have been fun.
It was fun for them, yeah, because that was still something they had never been able to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, you and I have chatted about that before, about, like, we don't get rain up here like you get rain down there, and obviously you don't get snow down there like we get snow up here. And
exactly.
Yeah, crazy. But, all right, that'll do it. We will be back next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
We want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door all nice and locked up?
It is. Locked, secure.
All right. So the only people that can get in here are the people that have the key from the green rock.
From the Kryptonite key rock.
There you go. All right. Chapter 15, The Believer. Where do you want to start?
You mentioned it before. Like, this was all Bill Burr, right? I think he
kind
of stole the episode. I think...
true Boston sarcasm.
Yeah, throughout. I was gonna say, like, a little bit different than when we saw him the first time around. Like, he seemed to have a little bit more conscience this time than in the first episode from last season. It felt almost like they were trying to redeem him a little bit because they might want to do something else with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to see him again, maybe in a, you know, I don't know. What's the name of that show we talked about earlier?
Which one?
The spinoff from The Mandalorian. Crap.
Not
we talked about it. Not the Ahsoka one.
Rangers?
The other one. The Rangers, yeah.
Maybe Rangers of the New Republic?
Maybe he'll show up in the Rangers show or something. I don't know, but it felt like they were trying to make us like him a little bit more.
Well, I have a feeling he can pop in here and there. Yeah. Obviously, they're going to do that with him, I think. But I also thought that what they were doing was not just for him personally, the Bill Burr, but for the character Mayfield.
Well, yeah, I wasn't referring to the actor at all.
But what I meant by Mayfield is like the people, kind of like what they did with what's his name in the sequel trilogy, the Empire, the troopers. They're all just regular people,
right?
And they do eventually, they can get a conscience, right? And it's like he worked for the Empire, but he's like. Like that speech that he gave when he was talking to that commanding officer and ends up shooting him.
Right.
But he's like, but that's where I think he got
his conscience.
Which
was the best scene in the whole episode, I think, was that scene right there.
I thought Bill Burr was awesome there. Yeah, I mean, really the good. Acting there, the emotion that he showed is, I mean, he's a comedian.
Well, really kind of felt the PTSD, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah, it was really good.
But
not what you expected out of that character, and that's why I think they were trying to redeem the character a little bit. Not for the sake of Bill Burr, but for the character itself. Because I think they might want to do, like I said, I think they might want to do more with him at some point.
Yeah, I loved some of his lines in this too, like the funny lines. The one where he was talking to Gina Carano's Cara Dune, and he's like, "It's a shame you're not coming along with us. You've got such a sunny disposition."
Right.
And then, like, as he's closing the door to the transport, he's like, "She must be a blast to be with in one of these things." Like, whatever he said. It was so, it's so great. He's just, he's so funny. And it's just the way he delivers the lines. And like, they're driving along and they're called Juggernauts or whatever, the name of the transport. And it's like Juggernaut 4 destroyed. He's like, destroyed? Destroyed. He's all like, what? Just keep going.
And I liked that whole scene too, kind of like the tension of that where they had to regulate their speed because of the cargo they were carrying.
Right.
But they were being chased by pirates. So I thought that was really cool, the way they
kind of slams on the brakes, and then they come in closer, but then the meters all go down back into green, and then he gets going again. And obviously we have the thermal detonators.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. Did you see the conversation I had with Steve George? My buddy, he's a listener from, I call him my buddy.
I know the name, but I didn't see their conversation.
Yeah, he's a home theater listener.
Right.
And he has a detonator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I commented on it. This was like Friday, the day it came out, and we were going, maybe it was Saturday. And he had tweeted out a picture of it. He has like a replica of it, and it has a nice stand and everything and a plaque with it.
Oh, cool.
And it was Saturday. So I said, what a great picture. And he's like, oh, I took it with my iPhone 12. And I'm like, oh, nice. It's a beautiful picture. I'll retweet it on Brightside Chat's Twitter.
Cool.
But then he's like, here's a video. He goes, this is just for you, DJ. And he posts a video, and it had, it makes all the noises and lights up and everything, just like the ones in the movie. So that was pretty cool. And I ran outside and I wrote on a piece of paper and I put it in the back of my theater and took a picture. And I was like, here. And then I posted it on Twitter. And it's a rock and I wrote on a piece of paper, it's the thermal detonator from Solo.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, he just used a rock and then went click. He made the noise with his mouth.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is all I could afford. Here you go. It's still sitting in my theater.
That's funny, the thermal
detonators.
Hey, real quick, here's some breaking news only for the Kryptonite Key Club. I'm reading on Facebook. Ming-Na Wen will voice Fennec Shand in Star Wars The Bad Batch series. Didn't know she was going to be part of that. That's pretty cool.
Really cool.
Another tie-in to, which actually, now let's do the math, right? Because The Bad Batch takes place around the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
And this takes place, what, 10 years later? No, more than that, 25 years later.
Well, The Bad Batch takes place at the end of the Clone Wars.
Right.
Which was shortly, which was right, is 20, yeah, so 20. 20
so, yeah, how old
no,
was she?
No, more than that, more than that, more than that.
That's what I'm saying, it's more than, it's like 25, 30 years. So, how old was Fennec Shand in The Bad Batch? So...
right, because this takes place 5 years after Jedi.
Right.
Jedi takes place, like, I think that's 5 years after A New Hope.
Right.
Roughly, right?
And there's like 20 years between the Clone Wars and New Hope. So 30 years. She's only like 30 to begin with. So.
Right. But you don't know when The Bad Batch takes place. That might take place many years later.
It could. I just thought that was, I started thinking about the math and I was like, well.
Yeah.
I don't know how old she is, but getting back to the Mando, I just read that, so I figured I'd throw it in there because I hadn't seen that before. So
yeah. And what about
something we've never seen ever in any Star Wars property in this episode.
Oh yeah, what was that?
Stormtroopers celebrating. When they make the delivery, you know, of the cargo, when they get into the base, like, the stormtroopers cheer them in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they celebrate them in, and, like, they're space Nazis, so, like, you don't think about them,
yeah, but they're not
doing that, you know?
But that's part of what I think, like, what we were saying about, like, Bill Burr's Mayfield is, like, they're giving a conscience and they're giving heart to these stormtrooper, these people that work for the Empire, that it's just a job, you know, and it's like they're just normal people in there. It's no longer the clones that they used to be, which by the way, that was pretty funny when they asked Boba Fett to go in, but you can't wear a helmet.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I think they might recognize me.
Yeah. They know my face.
They know my face.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. But yeah, what else? Oh, speaking of when they started cheering when they got in there, right before they get in there, they get rescued by the TIE fighters.
Yeah, and you're like, you're all happy. Like, you're cheering on the TIE fighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Bill Burr actually says. He goes, oh, you never thought you'd be happy to see Stormtrooper, but it was kind of the whole environment. But in true Empire fashion, these guys can't shoot worth crap. Because if you go back and watch that scene, rudonium or whatever they're hauling,
that's
supposed to be highly explosive, the first four or five blasts come in front of the transport. They blast, like, they shoot right by it and right all around it. And I'm like, what kind of precision is this? They're just throwing down fire. Like, oh, hopefully we don't hit it.
Well, you know, they don't hit anything, so.
Well, they hit the bad guys.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, I mean, the other big revelation.
I'm hogging all the time.
Not so much the revelation, but the other big occurrence, obviously, is, you know, Pedro Pascal showing his face, right? Because, you know, obviously.
Yes.
He does that. This is not the way. But here's what I thought about that whole scene. Like, he goes to the terminal, right, that he is forced to take off his helmet to identify his face on the scanner or what have you. But, like, what's the scanner actually checking for? like, just to make sure he has a face? Because his face isn't actually in the database, you know what I mean? It's like,
I know.
Here's access to all this sensitive information just because you have a face. You know what I mean? It's like, that was kind of weird.
That didn't get access.
Right. I was like, that is so weird. It's like, why is that? Why did it give him access to anything? Because it shouldn't have recognized him. And here's the other big thing. Like, what's with the mustache? You know what I mean? Like, who's that for?
Oh, that
who's
is
that mustache
funny.
For? Like, yeah. It'd be different if he had, like, a full-on beard or something, because maybe he just doesn't shave because he wears
he
his helmet all
shave,
the time.
Right.
But he had a perfectly groomed mustache.
Right.
Clean-shaven face. So he put work into that.
He takes time to actually trim
right.
and everything.
But
for
who?
No one.
Right.
Right. I honestly think they did it just for that.
Yeah.
They did it like ironically.
Yeah.
Like why would a guy
I
that
just
never
cracking
takes
up.
His
I was like,
off,
yeah, why would he have a mustache, you know?
Have a mustache? Yeah, exactly.
I was like, maybe it gives him inner swagger, you know what I mean? It's like it's all just
John,
for me.
I'm gonna
you know?
Give you 6 out of 1 on that point.
On that one,
that was
thank
great.
You, man.
That
I redeemed myself.
Totally redeemed yourself. That was good. I didn't even pick up on that. But you're right.
Was,
it's like because I'm just thinking, oh, it's just he.
It's
well,
Pedro
yeah.
Pascal, right? But
or hey, Superman had a mustache.
But here's the other thing that's really funny because maybe he's like Cesar Romero and he just doesn't want to take his mustache off because. You know, it's part of him, but
yeah.
He has no mustache in Wonder Woman 84. He's clean shaven when he
yeah,
plays.
But that was also filmed 4 years ago.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is clearly he doesn't have a problem shaving his mustache off.
Oh, right. No, I know that.
So,
I know. But like, yeah, that's a good point. Did he have a mustache last year too?
I'm sure he did. I'm
and
sure
we
he
just
did.
Didn't pick up on
I
it
I just
then.
Didn't pick up, on,
just
it
didn't
then,
pick
but,
up on it then.
But that was like, you know, a 1 minute scene. This was a good... I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. It was a good part of the episode.
Yeah.
You know.
And you notice everybody in the room is dead.
Right.
That saw him.
Right.
Which, to the, like, if you see him, you, which Joe and I were laughing about this one. If you see him, you have to, like, nobody's allowed to see him. So if they see him, they have to die.
Right.
But his face is the least recognizable thing. It's the suit that gives it
well, exactly.
away.
Exactly. Right. Nobody's looking at his face.
Right. So it's like if you see who he is, who cares? His
right.
best disguise is taking off the armor.
Exactly.
And walking around with his face because you wouldn't even know that was him. So if nobody's ever seen you, it's a religious thing. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And Bill Burr went over all of that with, so it's, which is it? You have to wear that
yeah,
mask?
Yeah, which that was great too.
Which
yeah,
I thought was great.
Yeah. It was really good. And you know, the fact that, you know, it kind of goes to show what Grogu means to him, right? Because he,
well, yeah, we're going
to
jump
right
to
the willing
to
break
end.
His, you know, basically willing to break his religious beliefs. All to get the information to save Grogu. So, I thought that was pretty cool too. Cause I think like in the beginning of the series, that wouldn't have happened.
No.
You know?
No, he was a heartless bounty hunter.
Yeah.
He was, which is a lot like what we thought of Boba Fett.
Right.
And, oh,
which he may
of Boba
still
Fett,
be heartless, but he has a code, you know?
Boba well, they've Fett, always had the code and now I think he's getting the heart.
Right.
Oh, you're talking about Boba Fett.
You mean? Yeah, Boba Fett. Like we still don't know whether he has a heart. We just know he has a code and he's
he
gonna
has a code,
honor.
Right.
Yeah, he's gonna honor his word. But
he also has a new paint job.
Yeah, that was cool too. I noticed that right away when he showed up. He was all clean and repainted. And
yeah.
Here's the other thing too. Like,
oh, here we go.
Beskar, right, is pretty much indestructible. We've learned. From this show, because we didn't know
right.
that before, right? Like, we didn't even know what his armor was called, I don't think.
Right, right.
But, you know, this show has shown us that Beskar is like adamantium, right?
Yeah.
So, explain to me the big-ass dent in Boba Fett's helmet, because...
do you know where that came
that's
from?
Beskar as well, so...
Do you know where that came from?
I don't know.
Alrighty. You can actually go and see it on YouTube.
Yeah.
He fought, this is Zach. We had this, my buddy Zach. We had this conversation, I think it was this week, past week. And it is Cad Bane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had a, they actually had a duel. So go on YouTube and Google, or not Google, but search for Cad Bane Boba Fett duel.
Yeah.
And you'll see a rough cut of it. And they had this duel and he actually supposedly kills Cad Bane. They both shoot each other at the same time, but Cad Bane's blast hits him in the forehead. But that's all that happened, was that dent.
Okay.
Where, you know, the shot he gets off supposedly kills him, but supposedly we're getting Cad Bane back. He's supposed to be showing up again soon.
I saw that somewhere too, yeah, which is cool. I thought he was a cool character.
Yeah, well, yeah, he, I mean, Cad Bane is the one, isn't he the one that befriended Ezra, kind of? And
no,
but he,
that was the, that's, no, you're thinking of two different people, though.
Am I?
Yeah, I can't remember his, the, it was kind of like the pirate guy that befriended
You're right, you're right.
Cad Bane was the bounty hunter from Clone Wars.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking of the...
Yeah, I can't remember that guy, that character.
But he kind of looked like him, though.
They did look similar,
they did
look similar, from
Rebels. Right. Yeah. But yeah, Cad Bane was... Cad Bane, he has the hat, kind of like Western-y looking, but he's a bounty hunter, looks... But the... look that up on YouTube. You'll like it. You'll like the scene.
I'll
but
check it out.
That's supposed to be reenacted too. That's supposed to be coming back. There's rumors of that whole battle actually coming to life now, that we're going to see it.
We never thought about it before because we always just assumed, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff and he got a dent on his helmet. But But now that you watch this show, you're like, well, how did that happen? Because Beskar is pretty tough. You know, it takes laser blasts and, you know, everything right off of it. So
yeah, I know Mandalorian just, but I always wondered, is that actually Beskar though? Because he's had some, like even the Mandalorian, he just got all Beskar recently.
Yeah, last season. I thought it.
You know
was,
what
though.
I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was, but maybe it isn't.
So who knows? I have a question for you, even from the week before. Did Gideon make a mistake by blowing up the Razor Crest?
Well, in what way?
They had a tracker in it. Now they have no idea where he is. Why'd they blow it up?
Because I don't think they care where he is anymore. They have Grogu.
You don't think he's going to come after him? Because they just got the ship, not him.
Well, right, but I think he's cocky enough that he doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I think... You know, I hadn't thought about it till right now, but I mean, I think that he just felt like we have Grogu, we don't care anymore. Like, I don't care where he is or what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think he probably felt like by blowing up the ship, he would slow him down from following.
Right. Don't you think that maybe now he might be thinking that might have been a mistake? Because if I hadn't done that, I'd at least know where he was.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? But... I don't know. I just thought of that. I was like, why did they blow it? I mean, I guess you're in battle and you blow up somebody's ship.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but
and I think he felt like the tracker... I don't know. He probably just felt like it didn't matter anymore because he had Grogu.
What else did we have? Oh! The Sonic Charge! How cool was that coming back? That Boba Fett dropped out.
Oh,
and
yeah,
blew
yeah,
up
yeah.
The TIE fighters
yeah.
that we had in, what was that, not Clone Wars,
Attack of the Clones, yeah.
Attack of the Clones when Jango Fett dropped out those Sonic Chargers, well, not Sonic Chargers, what do they call them? Something like that, but they were sound, and it was like, in space and blew up the asteroids and everything around it, and then he dropped one, that looked and sounded so, when that thing fell out, in my theater.
It was cool,
I'm just waiting for that because there was that, what was it, like 10 seconds of silence before the thing got in between the TIE fighters.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah, that was really cool. And it's the little things like that that just keep, that give you me the confidence to, like, the stuff we were talking about earlier and, like, what are they going to do with Vader and Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
And if they can throw little things like that, like the thermal detonators and throw in those, you know, sonic charges or whatever, and they keep everything moving and giving you those little nuggets that tie all of these things in together. And not only that, this Mandalorian, like these, when they're driving through that town and they're showing those kids, watching them drive through, we're seeing different parts of the galaxy and how all of this stuff is affecting everybody. And I think that's just expanding this universe for us. And like in Bill Burr's speech is kind of expanding that universe too. There's so much more here. There's very little in this entire series that has to do, that's directly related to the Skywalker saga.
Right.
But they just keep giving you little nuggets to tie it in. And it makes, you know, all the fanboys, we all go crazy for it. But yet we're getting a completely new story that has nothing to do with that, except for this is just like the remnants of what happened.
Yeah, well, but the other thing too, keep in mind that not every show is being written by Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, you know, so what they're able to do in
way
their
to
show,
bring me down to earth.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't mean that the other ones are going to be able to do, you know, so...
Yeah, but you would think that they would draw off of that, their success, and
you would
be like,
hope, yes,
yeah,
but they're not all being done by those two. So
true. You're right. We'll see. All right. Last question. True believer. Why do you think it's called that? Oh, the believer. I'm sorry. Is that Bill Burr's character, Mayfield?
I mean, it has to be, right? But I mean, I don't really understand. I guess I didn't think about it until just now. I don't really know, because what's he the believer of?
That's what I was wondering. Is he a believer in like Mandalorian, or are they a believer in him? Like he's, you know, they let him go.
Based on the end of the show, I think they came around to him. You know,
right?
Or maybe he's becoming a believer, like maybe he's turning over a new leaf, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what's he going to do with his life now that he has a second chance, you know?
I know, it's like, it's kind of funny, they're letting him go, but they're on some, like, weird planet.
Well, I thought of that, too. It's,
I mean,
like,
he's not in jail, so that is, I mean, I'd run, too.
I mean, it's a plus, right? Yeah, if they say, hey, go, I'm going to go, too, but he's on a planet with a rebel base that he just blew up, and
yeah,
really no way out, so... I don't know either, but yeah.
He seems to have some skills.
He's resourceful, so I guess he'll figure it out. But yeah, I thought that too. I was like, well, if you tell me to go, I'm going to go, but I'm not quite sure how I'm getting off this rock. So
sure, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, all right, is that it for this week?
I think so.
All right. All righty. That will do it. We will be back next week with the finale.
We will, indeed.